This is Tessa Blanchard, and you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show.
I think I got tongue tied in there.
You're not the only one that's done that. Cliff Compton, we had to do like 16 takes to get Cliff Compton to try to say it right, and he never did, so.
All right, I'm ready now. This is Tessa Blanchard, and you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show.
Perfect.
Welcome to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show, the premier podcast of indie wrestling.
Maybe I ought to just change the name of the show to the Caleb Conley Show.
Our studio line is area code 213-816-1605 with your host, Bunkhouse Bob.
I don't sign autographs. I very, very rarely take pictures with people, but if people insist and they're nice, then I'll do that. So.
And the lovely Laura.
I am a true and total lady. I would never headbutt anybody.
Gentlemen, it is Wednesday night. That means that it is hashtag Independent Wrestling Wednesday, which means that you are listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. What do you think of that new intro? Huh? I'd like to thank Michael Rose for hooking us up with some new audio. I also want to thank Jeff for his audio work. Please go check out Michael Rose's website, www.hook74.com. Great guy, great musician, great friend. Thank you so much, Michael, for the new music. Folks, we've got a big show for you tonight. On this episode of Live from the Armory, we have Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment promoter Joshua Wheeler will be joining us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour for all of our friends out on the left coast and all across the United States, I should say. We have championship wrestling from Hollywood star Tito Escondido, member of the Vermin, will be joining us. Folks, we'd like to thank you for listening wherever you may be at, whether you're downloading us on iTunes or whether you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio. We come at you every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, so that's once a week. That's four times a month, and you can get all of this entertainment for the low, low price of just $9.99 a month. Right, Laura?
No, Bob, we are not going to add to the machine. We cannot. We don't get anything
$9.99. Upside down, folks, that's 666. Think about it. Our studio number is 213-816-1605. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, our Twitter address is at From the Armory. Laura, what's our Facebook info?
www.facebook.com/live.armory.9.
See, and folks are going to be saying, Bob, you did not give Laura the grand entrance. You didn't give her the grand poobah opening that you usually do every week, but I don't have to do that because Laura is so popular, she's already gotten her photo in an article about Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa, so she doesn't need like a giant red carpet rollout anymore. Right, Laura?
I don't know about all that, but we will talk about a photo that was used in a web article that belonged to me. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about ice bucket challenges. We're going to talk about a previous guest of the show getting married. We're going to talk about a birthday boy over the weekend, and we're going to talk about someone who got his leg broken. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about, and, of course, Josh Wheeler is going to be on the phone here in a little bit. So
Josh Wheeler will be on the phone in a little bit. I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared at all for Josh Wheeler. Folks, he changes gears faster than an 18-wheeler going down 75, if you get my drift. So let's kick it off. We'll, I don't know if a lot of folks saw this or not. Some of you may have. Some of you may not have. Davey Richards, TNA star, tag team co-holder, part of the, what do they call themselves, Laura, the American Wolves, or the Wolves.
Actually, they just call themselves the Wolves.
Now they're the Wolves. Broken leg.
Yeah.
Out of action. So I don't know what this holds for Davey. You know, obviously he's going to need some time to mend. And if folks have been following this TNA story, there was a subsequent announcement that was made this week that it would appear all indicators show that Bully Ray is leaving the promotion as well. So I know that there is enough taping in the can to carry them through, I think, October, like the first week of October, second week of October. I've also been told that there are live events that have been canceled in lieu of them trying to strike another deal with TV. So got two guys gone that were, you know, an intricate part of TV time. So I guess we'll just have to wait.
Especially Bully.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I like Team 3D, and I think they brought a lot to the table for TNA. And Bully, you know, when Bully got in shape, the best shape he'd ever been in. I mean, his career was, you know, reinvigorated. He was a new wrestler, and it helped the product immensely. So I feel real sad for TNA right now. I really do, and a lot of people are hating on him. But there's got to be a second option out there somewhere, somehow, or the products. In the business, you know.
Well, he reinvented himself, solidified himself as a singles competitor in TNA. I guess we'll just have to see where it goes. I don't know. We'll have to see where it goes. I know that you had told me that former show guest and also championship from wrestling star, from Hollywood star, excuse me, Johnny Yuma got married.
He sure did. A great posts on Facebook and Twitter. Joey Ryan even made his show an episode about Johnny Yuma's wedding. So it was really, really great. And, you know, just want to say congratulations, Johnny, and maybe we can get you back on one day and you can talk about, you know, how married life's treating you.
Absolutely. Johnny Yuma was a pretty cool guy. Really knowledgeable and really down to earth. So it was pretty cool to have him on. Tell us more about this photo that you were a part of.
Mike Bessler, who runs I believe it's called Wrestling Inc. He runs a website and he does, you know, articles and everything. It was, gosh, I want to say it was Saturday night when I was at PWX, I believe. I get this message, and he's like, hey, can I use one of your pictures from Five Bell Wrestling of Colt and Marty for an article? And I'm like, sure, you know, whatever. I don't care. And so, you know, a little later I get something on my timeline that, you know, he thanked me for helping him with the story and everything, you know, for the photo. So, yeah, I am, you know, I'm published. Yeah,
all big things. Awards and accolades and mentions.
Money.
And money. Did you get any money out of it?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
No. I'm just saying No. I'm just saying that's
money.
What I'm hoping this is going to bring me, some money, you know, because.
$9.99 is what it'll bring you. $9.99. Cedric Alexander was at PWX. We all know that he's in Ring of Honor. And he had a birthday And didn't you present him with a birthday card?
I sure did. The DA had decided they were going to, you know, do a little get-together for Cedric, and we all brought some things that he loves. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Cedric Alexander loves cashews. Sorry about that. It was cashews. Crystal brought him cashews. I brought him some Cool Ranch Doritos. And I think they had brought him some strawberry cake, things like that he really likes. And I had given him a card. And in the card I had put, just because it's your birthday doesn't mean that you're better than Caleb.
Oh, boy.
So I got the stink eye for that.
Yeah, I saw
that.
Which
I posted on Facebook.
How in good conscience, how in good faith could you write something like that in the man's birthday card?
Look, the man has made me wear his shirt in front of Caleb. And then he asked me where it was because I didn't have it on. And then he was like, where's that shirt I bought you? And I'm like, excuse me, what shirt did you buy me? Yeah, where is that shirt you bought me? Now, the shirt that I bought off you is at home because I can't be caught dead at a PWX show with a Cedric Alexander shirt on.
Mm.
I'll be thrown off Team Caleb forever. Jordan Castle disowned me.
Membership revoked.
But anyway, Cedric had a good time. He defended his title Saturday at PWX, which was a really great show. He defended against Marcellus King, who was his former circus member. Cedric just kind of laid the law down in a promo. It was like, look, you know, that was when I was young, didn't know any better. I'm older now. I'm my own man. I don't need you guys. But just wanted to say that the match of the night at PWX was worst-case scenario with the Tommy Thomas versus Country Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. I'm thinking that the Bendejos will be back up in PWX because they're still the PWX champions as far as I know. A little controversy there because Country Jack had said some derogatory things about them. About them not being champions anymore. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But tag team wrestling is kind of hot right now in PWX because you've got worst case scenario, you've got Country Jack, and I'm sure the Bravados will be back in PWX as soon as they return from England. So, you know, it's a hotbed of tag team wrestling. Everybody, you know, September 13th and in Thomasville, North Carolina at the Thomasville National Guard Armory is going to be us against the world for PWX. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know any matches yet, but I'm sure we'll know over the weeks to come, and it's going to be great. And Cedric was in ROH this past weekend as well and tore it up like he always does. So, you know, I said it before, you know, 2 years, maybe three, you know, Cedric will be in NXT, not a doubt. If not sooner than that, he'll be in NXT.
Folks, our studio number is 213-816-1605. We're going to bring Josh Wheeler on here in just a couple of minutes. I did want to mention something really briefly. I did see where Raymond Rowe was injured in a motorcycle accident this past week. Was hurt pretty severely. So we want to send out our best thoughts and our get well wishes to Mr. Rowe. Certainly hope that he heals soon and gets better. Ice bucket challenges seem to be all the rage across social media right now. And before we talk about ice bucket challenges, I want to say this, for whatever you may think about them or whatever you may not like about them. If you care to pass your time of day on your Facebook page watching nothing more than fire challenges or cat videos or ratchet fights, then I could see where the ice bucket challenge maybe has become a bore to you. If the ice bucket challenges raise one penny, if they raise someone's level of awareness about ALS, if it gets people talking and gets people involved, then I'm all for it. And I participated in it, thanks to George Coles from Heel Heat. Laura has participated in it. The people that we asked
to you and
challenge.
George.
Yep. The people that we asked to participate in the challenge, Brian Kanabruski, Jason Ayers, Tessa Blanchard, they participated. Thank you very much for participating. You can go to www.als.org if you don't feel like participating, and you can still make a donation one way or the other, and you probably should. I did. It's just something that if people are involved and it's getting information out there, then so be it. A lot of people were upset because it's, you know, all about me and all about the video. Well, guess what, folks? I am sure that after this particular thing passes, there will be something else that comes along that takes its place, that it's all about me. That's what social media was invented to do, to
be
honest.
It's called media.
Media. You got it.
Yeah. So. And I just want to say something really quick about the Ice Bucket Challenges. And I'd seen a lot of people on there, you know, like, I'm tired of this, you know, taking space up in my timeline. ALS is a very cruel disease. And I'm not saying it's any more crueler than any other disease. It robs you of your muscle function. You can't speak. Your mind is still going, but your body can't do anything. And research dollars are so key and so important. Take it from someone who lost their mother to cancer. Anytime I can help out someone's cause like this, I even do things for the American Cancer Society as well. I do it because it makes me feel good. And if you can't see that this is what this is, I mean, they raised just nothing last year, and now they've already got millions of dollars. So I'm all for it. If you don't like it on your timeline, there's a little button called unfollow on Facebook. I suggest that some of y'all look into it.
Laura, why don't you go and read down the indie events, and I'll be right back.
Okie dokie. We've got Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor weekend, Friday, August 22nd from the Turner Hall Ballroom in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 7:30 bell time. Scheduled to appear, Michael Elgin, new ROH champion, The Young Bucks, AJ Styles, Silas Young, and more. Saturday, August 23rd, Death Before Dishonor 12 at the Frontier Fieldhouse in Chicago Ridge, Illinois, 7:30 bell time. All the stars of Ring of Honor are going to be here. You've got the Briscoes, Tommaso Ciampa, his name always gets my tongue tied, Red Dragon, AJ Styles, Michael Elgin, and many more. For more information on this, you go to www.rohwrestling.com. It's going to be a good one, folks. I want to say this before I go into Milestone. I just got a tweet from Mr. Terry Houston, and he had some derogatory things to show up on Facebook today regarding a picture of him and Big Donnie and Porkchop Cash, and it was regarding their attire. I'm not going to go into it too much, but I'm just going to say that Mr. Houston is really pissed off, and if you're just looking at someone's wrestling gear, and I know some of it can be bad, but some people can't afford gear, but they're really good wrestlers. You know, this is Terry's gear. I'm sorry. If you don't know that by now, you don't need to be talking about it. But I just want to say that for our good friend Terry Houston. He and Porkchop and Big Donnie are three of the best people I've ever met in my life. And if people don't like them, pardon my French, fuck them.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Exactly.
Carry on.
So, with that being said, I'd like to announce Milestone Wrestling is going to have a show this upcoming Saturday, August 23rd, at the Hickory National Guard Armory in Hickory, North Carolina. I'm a little tongue-tied tonight, folks. On the card, speaking to Mr. Terry Houston, he is going to defend his Smash Mouth Championship against Zane Riley in a hardcore match. Zane doesn't do hardcore matches, so this is going to be a treat if you're a Zane Riley fan. If you're a fan of Terry Houston, you know Terry never fails to please. Whenever he goes out and wrestles, he always gives it 110%. Zane Riley does as well. It's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do my best to get down there. I can't say that for sure that I will, but I'm going to do my best. And I just got a tweet from Terry Houston that Zane will bleed. Yeah, it's a guarantee. If you're in a match with Terry Houston, you're going to bleed. But, you know, everybody get out and support the good folks at Milestone. They always put on a good show. Jason Dentino is one of my favorite people as well. Can't beat him. Moving on to NWA Houston, Saturday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. bell time at the VFW Post 8905, Cypress, Texas. Scheduled to appear, Prince, I think that's Kanu?
I believe
Kanu?
That's Kanu, I believe.
I think, yes, Mr. Dictionary there. Michael Dell, Steve Anthony, Byron Wilcott, and more. For more information, you can visit www.nwahouston.com.
Thank you very much, Laura. Folks, it's a real honor, and it's a privilege, and it's actually just it's a lot of fun to have on our next guest. We met Josh, almost a year ago, I think, doing some wrestling stuff, and got involved with him, and lo and behold, kept in contact with Josh, and come to find out that that Josh launched a promotion called Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, and Josh has been involved with some wrestling for quite a number of years, and just to have Josh on is always a treat because he's probably one of the funniest, if not the funniest guy that I know. Josh, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, actually. This is a little weird. I'm on a different side of the podcast world. I'm usually the interviewer and not the interviewee. And I'm usually just doing running on your guys' shows because they're so much fun. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I mean, you guys are about to put me through the third degree, run me through the ringer. I feel like OJ at the Nicole Brown Synthesis Royal. Oh, that's right. He didn't testify. I forgot. Oh, well.
Right.
Oh,
if it doesn't fit, you must have quit.
That's right. I mean, come on. It's been 20 years. I mean, I can make jokes about it now. It's not too soon yet.
Yeah, I hear you. Folks, our studio number is 213-816-1605. Josh, just to get rolling, why don't you tell us how things are going with Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment? A couple shows in now. Won't you let us know what's going on?
Well, we have moved on from working with our former co-promoter, Roger Davis, and I felt that he was, I wouldn't say not pulling his weight, but, I mean, we were supposed to be 50-50 partners, and then there was definitely, obviously, some issues with him, and then just certain things that he was doing just kind of, like, rubbed me the wrong way. And so we decided, you know, to end that partnership, and I tried to end it as amicably as possible, and then he threatens to kill me on Facebook, and that turned into a whole other, you know, shebang as it can be, and I really don't even want to talk too much about it. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But we have we found another location in North Metro Atlanta, which is the Canton, Georgia area, which is actually very close to where I used to run shows when I promoted professional pro wrestling Evolution back in the early and mid 2000s. So, you know, it's an area that I know very well. I grew up in that area, so I think it's a very good, like, small home base for us. And we're looking at doing some stuff closer in the city, and we got some strategic partnerships that we're lining up with some other smaller promotions in Georgia that can kind of help us as well. And, of course, we're doing some things outside of just wrestling that will help partner and make us a little bit bigger as well. So,
not
it's
a lot
exciting
of fans.
Time. It, you know. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go carry on. It's fine.
I was just going to say, it's a very exciting time, but I mean, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, we're drawing like 300 people every show, then we're drawing 700 people. You know, our first two shows, we totally barely drew, 85 paid for two shows. You know, it's not a number that I'm proud of, but it's a beginning. And we got a crowd that I was very happy with, like loud. I mean, very happy about, you know, how they were enthusiastic with the product, and I've heard no complaints about the product that we're giving them. And so I think going back to Canton, where I know the area a little bit better, I got a little bit more, you know, family and friends in that area. Not saying that I want family and friends of the show, but it just kind of gives me a little bit more of a home base on my end where I can say, hey, aunt, hey, uncle, hey, cousin, can you guys take care of this for me while I'm stuck here in Tampa? You know, because I live in Tampa, but I'm promoting shows in Georgia. Go figure. It does make it a little, like, harder. But a lot of the wrestlers are in Georgia, so, you know, I do lean on them for a lot of the extra stuff. And you know, we go from there.
Now, a lot of fans don't realize this, but you've been involved with wrestling for a number of years.
Way too long.
Give us a little bit of background.
I got started like how most uber smart marks get started. Backyard wrestling actually is what got me started. I was 20 years old when my younger brother was in high school, my only brother, let me just rephrase that. And I was, people don't know this, I was literally one of the biggest wrestling fans in the world. My dad and I, you know, grew up watching wrestling with my dad. For years, you know, 605 was religion. And, you know, on Saturdays in Atlanta, you guys may not have been as blessed as we were, but we had what was it called? The Superstars of Wrestling on Saturdays on WATL 36, which was Joe Pedicino and Bonnie Blackstone hosted an entire, like, 14 or 15-hour block of wrestling on Saturday afternoons. So literally my entire Saturday was baseball and wrestling all day long. And then, you know, in the fall, it was football and wrestling all day long. And that's just like, that's what me and my dad did. And
right.
So I got the chance, you know, when I was a little bit older, my brother met some kids, you know, it was, you know, the heart of the Attitude Era had just ended and all these kids were doing backyard wrestling. And, you know, a kid he went to school with was a little rich kid who had a wrestling ring in his backyard. And they brought me on board and they didn't know anything about the wrestling business or about, you know, and not that I knew anything either, but I thought I did. You know, every smart mark thinks that we can be the next Paul Heyman. You know, that's just what
that's
we
right,
think.
Right.
We, you know, and so, you know, I started coming in there and started, like, you know, booking their backyard shows and strategically getting their backyard shows together. And I said, well, crap, you know, not that these were good wrestlers, and I'm kind of embarrassed to actually admit that my first, like, real show was with backyarders, but, you know, I go and I book a venue and I get a real ring and we, you know, set it up and we run a show and we draw almost 200 people. And for the first 3 years of my wrestling career, my backyard show was my best drawing show I'd ever done, which really kind of sucks. And it really made me a very bitter promoter because, you know, I booked a whole bunch of high school backyard kids and draw over 200 paid. And then I go and then I fire those kids and I go and get actual talent. I'm talking like some of the best in the Georgia indie scene in the early 2000s. And I draw like 35, and I did the same promoting. I did nothing. I actually probably spent way more money with the professionals than I did with the backyarders and drew way less. So I became very bitter very early. And at the same time, I was 22 years old when I started running wrestling shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
young.
It was extremely young. And I always say that, like, I was probably an idiot, but I never wanted to be a pro wrestler. And people, like, always get, like, what do you mean you never want to be a pro wrestler? I always want to be in wrestling. Like, I want to be a manager or a commentator or a promoter. I never wanted to be a wrestler. I'm not the most athletic person in the universe. So.
Well, neither am I. So I can empathize with you there.
But, and you know, and you guys can probably tell when I get in your guys' show, like, I've studied the greats of Jimmy Hart, Jim Cornette, Paulie Dangerously, Bobby the Brain. I studied managers growing up. I knew from an early age. I remember I was 6 years old cutting promos in kindergarten and first grade. I mean, you know, I've always had that gift of gab and that ability to, you know, not only just talk, but to make people not like you when you talk.
Right.
So I'm a natural heel. I mean, it's in my last name. I mean, if you look at my last name, the word heel is in my last name. That's not a coincidence.
I hear
point.
You, Josh. Yeah, I hear you. Now, you had mentioned growing up, being in the Atlanta area, I'm going to presume that it was Braves and Falcons, right?
No, the Falcons. No one liked the Falcons in Atlanta. Are you kidding
what?
Me?
Come on.
No.
No.
Nobody in Atlanta
if
liked the Falcons.
No, because they were so bad. You got to remember, I'm 33 now, so in the 80s, you did not cheer the Falcons. Most of the kids growing up in the 80s and you know, in Atlanta, you pretty much just pick a team. You're almost like all bandwagon fans until you're about 8 or 9, and you realize that that's kind of stupid, so you just, like, start liking a team, and then you kind of stay with them. So, like, growing up, like, a lot of the kids that I remember, like, everybody's Broncos fans growing up because John Elway, and then, of course, people like the Cowboys and, you know, the Packers eventually became in vogue. I always love, you know, I enjoy Brett Favre, but I'm a Jets fan. I somehow found the New York Jets on Tecmo Super Bowl back in 1991, and that's been my team ever since. And I hate them and love them at the same time. But honestly, I'm a diehard Braves fan. I live and die with the Atlanta Braves and the Phoenix Suns because my uncle is a huge Suns fan because he's from Phoenix. So, you know, growing up, we went to the Suns and Hawks game. They only play one time a year in Atlanta. We went to almost every Suns game for almost my, like, first, you know, let's see, five, six, probably about 12 years. We went to about 9 or 10 games that I made it to the Suns versus Hawks. So,
well, I know that Laura is a huge Braves fan. How, I have no idea, because I figured she's like
Braves country,
Toledo Mud Hens or something like that.
Nope.
In AAA ball.
Braves country. Well, Braves country, it starts in Atlanta and goes all the way to Arkansas, Mississippi, and goes all the way north to Virginia, West Virginia.
Wow.
I'll tell you how. Like that, I'll tell you how I'm a Braves fan.
TBS Super Station 17.
That and the fact that my grandfather liked them when they were in Boston. They moved to Milwaukee. Then they moved to Atlanta. So, I mean, I'm one of these people like you that liked them when they played in those powder blue uniforms and they sucked ass. But I still rooted for my Braves. So I'm still a big Braves fan. You know, watch them until they're like 13 innings and then lose the game, but they're my team, you know? You had posted something on Facebook that was really interesting about Brian McCann. And let's talk a little bit about Brian McCann because I was,
gracious,
very angry that Brian McCann had left Atlanta, but now I'm seeing that it might have been a blessing in disguise for him to actually be someone else's, for lack of a better term,
albatross. See, okay, now, you know, I came on a wrestling podcast to talk wrestling, but I get what you guys are doing, and I'm fine with that, because I'm a sports guy. So, you know, I used to work in radio, want to be a sports talk guy my entire life, Jim Rome fan. My thing about baseball is real simple. I study the numbers side of baseball as well as the game, and you hit a certain age and your skills start to decrease. Brian McCann was getting close to that crazy age of 32, and when you hit 32, you start to see the sudden decline in everybody, but you start to see a decline in players. There was no reason to give Brian McCann a 4 or 5 year deal when he was getting close to age 32, especially at the money that he was trying to command. It had nothing to do with Brian McCann. It's just that's the economics of baseball.
Right. I totally agree.
And if you look at Brian McCann, and I think it was like 2008, 2009, 2010, guy's close to a 260, 280, 300 hitter, you know, and he's got some power too. He has those eye problems, and he's not been the same hitter since. So, again, why give him $16, $17 million a season to hit 235? You already had one of those guys playing second base for us at the beginning of the season. Thank God he's gone.
Yes. Yes, I'm so glad Dan Uggla is. God.
I don't even refuse to say his name. No, I mean, and a lot of people didn't understand what I was saying, but you do. You see a lot of casual fans that don't understand. Like, and I'm not saying that I'm like I could not be a general manager of a baseball team. Well, I probably could if I really tried, but you know, I still studied. I'm just as much of a smart baseball mark as I used to be a smart wrestling mark. I truly am. Like, I study the very intricate details. I could tell you players in the farm systems that you'll never hear of that I'm watching tonight
right
when I get home. So,
it's kind of like the indies for wrestling, right?
Yeah, you know what? The minor league system's a lot like the indies, except the minor league system, they get paid a lot less.
Well, what I will do, Josh, is one time I will tell you the story about watching Deion Sanders play for the Columbus Clippers and having fans throw 9-volt batteries at him. lest I digress.
Ooh.
Let's talk about two things. We're going to go back on track to wrestling, and I want to go back to Facebook too, because there was a post that you put out that damn near went viral. It had so many comments on it. Yeah, viral, but it. Tell me. Let me ask the question. What was the purpose or the intent of the post that you put out about the young lady Aria Ambrose? What was behind that?
And I'm glad you asked. And the post was really not about Aria Ambrose or Aria Ambrose or whatever her name is. And I've actually been told she's changed her name since then. Legitimately, the post was more about, and again, call me a hypocrite. Everybody listening to your show right now can call me a hypocrite. A lot of these promoters in the Georgia area especially, and even in the Tennessees and some of the Louisiana, because I know Altar Boy Luke Hawks has talked about it on various podcasts, and in the South it seems like there's a lot of these kind of promotions where the promoter does everything you could possibly do as a promoter, except he then puts out the worst talent imaginable. The worst talent imaginable. And what happens is a fan pays their hard-earned $10, $15, $20 to these shows. They witness an Aria Ambrose match. And again, she was just an example. We've seen worse. There is worse out there. And then they go and they lump all independent wrestling with that show. That's the problem. I don't spend thousands of dollars a month to be lumped in with a giant pile of crap. I don't appreciate it when I am lumped in that pile of crap. I'm trying to put up, and then here's the thing. It's the equivalent of this. If you have a five-star restaurant, Bob, I don't know if you're an eater, but you I'm sure you like Cajun food. You're over in the bayou. You like a good Cajun restaurant, true or false?
True.
You do not want to open a restaurant and know that you are serving prime Cajun food and someone say, well, Bob's restaurant's no better than Popeye's chicken.
Right.
You know better because you're spending the money to make it better. And that's, unfortunately, the gambit that wrestling promoters now run is if you're not Vince McMahon, you're obviously a shit show. There's no in-between for a casual wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm. Right, no,
and that was more my intent.
No, and you and I have spoken about this, and so that folks understand what we're talking about here is that after that post went out, then I saw a couple other subsequent posts, and I actually did a little investigative work because that's what I get paid $9.99 to do on the show is do a little investigative work, and I actually watched a match that was on YouTube that came in at 6 minutes. And the match actually was only 2 minutes and I think around 30 seconds long. The rest of it was a lot of walking around the ring and posing and primping. And then I watched an interview, quote-unquote interview. I don't know how legitimate the interview was. It was basically like a recorded YouTube interview of someone that had allegedly sent in questions, so on and so forth. Looking at both of those pieces of filmed evidence, if you will, this particular person, and I sent her a message and said, or I put it on my Facebook, if you want to be involved in pro wrestling, if this is truly your dream, please go after your dream, but do it in an environment where people can help you, because calling yourself a wrestler right now is not helping anything because you're not a wrestler. That what I saw was not wrestling. I did not see wrestling. I saw in the interview was not an interview.
No.
So,
and that's what I'm saying is, again, it's not just Aria Ambrose. I mean, literally, and I hate to say this, there used to be a Facebook page called Trash Bag Wrestling, and you know, they were kind of poking fun at people for gear or whatever. It's more than just gear. It's an entire mindset. And, again, I'm not going to sit here and say that I am the end-all, be-all to professional wrestling. What I am going to say is that I have learned – from Murder One, from Corey Chavis, from Jeff G. Bailey, for Dan the Dragon Wilson. I have had the privilege to pick the brain of Ben Masters, to pick the brain a little bit of Francisco Chiazzo, to pick the brain of Simon Says. I have had the opportunities to share a locker room with real vets and to actually interview and communicate with Jake the Snake Roberts, with Mr. Wrestling 2, with Thunderbolt Patterson, with Ole Anderson just in general. I've been to a TNA show where I got to have a conversation with Dusty Rhodes and do an in-ring segment with Dusty Rhodes back in early 2004. So I respect these guys. I respect the guys that came before us. The problem that I have today with the business is you got so many fucking pieces of shit that don't respect the people that came before them, and so they shit on the entire industry because, and I quote, they think it's fucking fake. And that bothers me. And it bothers me from a professional standpoint and a personal standpoint because, again, these men, Jack Briscoe, Gerald Briscoe, Ole Anderson, Gene Anderson, I can name a million of them. These guys did not bust their ass so Aria Ambrose can wear some Chuck Taylors and call herself a wrestler.
Point taken.
And they didn't bust their ass so some promoter can use Aria Ambrose because, A, he's trying to sack her in bed, or because she's cheap labor.
Fair
and
enough.
That's where I have the bigger issue. And then when I try to get a sponsor from, Aaron's Rental, I can't get it because this guy's already burned that bridge. Well, if you're going to burn the bridge for all of us, at least do it, because they screwed you over. I mean, I don't want you to burn a bridge with a sponsor, but that's a different – but you get what I'm saying. Like, I just – it's an insult to the profession, and wrestling's the only profession that does this crap sometimes. You would never see a guy playing guitar get on stage and not know how to play power chords, at least power chords.
Right.
True.
Right. I think those are fair statements, and that kind of leads me to this next part. And Laura and I talked about this last week, moving on from promotions that do this into legitimate promotions and guys that are recognized named stars. And I'll throw a couple of names out there: Chris Hero, Kevin Steen, Sean Ricker, so on and so forth. It used to be, when approached by the WWE to sign these developmental deals, that it was almost a lock. It was a guarantee. Now we've seen a couple of guys on the independence team that had solid name recognition, solid in-ring skills, that signed that contract only to subsequently be released. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, my thing is this. Okay, and again, I think there's another misconception because I feel like, okay, everybody says, well, you can only make a real living in WWE. I think that's a misconception. I think you can make a living at professional wrestling. You just may not be a millionaire. And I think that's the misconception because, okay, I don't know if you guys know what an average person in America makes, but I think the average salary is around like $40,000 a year. Well, if you divide that up, just give me 1 second. $40,000 a year divided by $40,000 divided by 52. That's an average of $769 a week. Now, again, that's not a lot of money. As a matter of fact, most people I know my age make way less than that, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. If you can make $500 to $600 a week doing something that makes you happy, you should go for it. Now, you're going to have to grind. You're going to have to hustle. You're going to have to think, how can I make money? How can I monetize my brand? And you might have to sit around and think of, okay, could I sell a sponsorship? Could I sell T-shirts? Could I sell buttons? Besides just being booked, how can you make money? And the thing is, and I'll preach this on the day I die, Vince McMahon is never going to watch you. Vince McMahon will hear about you before he sees you. So the key to I think the industry needs to look at as a whole is you need to create a buzz. And you create a buzz by getting people talking about you, whether it's through social media, whether it's through your matches or whatnot. Kevin Steen's a perfect example. I can't sit here and say I'm a fan of Kevin Steen's wrestling. Doesn't mean I hate him. Doesn't mean he like this. I watch wrestling for different reasons, than most people. He's very, very good in the ring. He's very crisp. He's solid. He's got a great work ethic. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when I look at Kevin Steen from a, WWE standpoint, he's not your typical WWE guy. But they signed him because Vince McMahon obviously does not, has something for him. And that could be just as simple as keep him away from Gabe Sapolsky, or keep him away from Sinclair Broadcasting, or keep him away from Dave Marquez, or keep him away from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, or keep him away from myself, or keep him away from Global Force Wrestling, or TNA, or whatever. So, to me, when they get signed to NXT, yay, congratulations, you got signed to NXT, you're making $30,000 to $35,000 a year, yay, go you, you're living your dream, that's cool. But I think that you could possibly live your dream on the indies if you just found ways to monetize it, and maybe didn't, poor Steen, he lived in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It's kind of hard for, shows all over America to book him. But a lot of guys could move to a more central location, Atlanta being one of them, Tampa, Orlando being another one, Philadelphia is a good one, the New York area is good, Los Angeles is good, somewhere where you're near an airport. And you could legitimately, or Chicago is another great city, Dallas is another one, you could legitimately be close enough to airports and travel hubs where you could possibly work 5 to 6 shows a week.
Right.
But that's just me.
No, and I think it's a valid point. I was getting ready to say, this was back when Sean Ricker had first gotten signed. He had tweeted out, what he actually signed for. He signed a $30,000 contract.
Yeah, they don't get paid very much at all.
No, and he didn't delete the tweet. I thought it was kind of odd. Most will not talk about the money, and I was kind of surprised, at the base salary, going in being $30,000.
I've heard the base salary is anywhere from $500 to around $650 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the base salary. Now, I'll go and tell you right now, my goal with AWE, I don't want to be a millionaire. I'll probably never be a millionaire. My goal is for Vince to buy me out. I want to create enough buzz or make the WWE at least enough aware of me that they're like, that kid could cause us fucking trouble in Atlanta. And they buy me out.
You've got...
Because I want to see when 18,000 people go to Phillips Arena 2 times a year, I would like to hear people chant, we want wrestling or Atlanta wrestling, or, some variation of something that we create. So Vince knows they're not talking about your product. They're talking about my product. You go back to the 95 King of the Ring when Mabel is winning and the crowd's chanting ECW, that's what I want. Buy me out. Give me enough money and say, don't do this again, please. Cause I don't really want to work for the guy, but I don't mind if the guy gives me $100,000 to go away.
But you are getting ready to do this again. You guys have got a show coming up, don't you?
September 20th. We are going to Saturday Nights, Canton, Georgia. That's right up 575. You can find it on Google Maps, of course. And we got a pretty big show, actually. Jimmy Rave faces Mike Cruz for the very first time. If you've never seen Mike Cruz, I suggest there's a match of him from Evolve facing Chuck Taylor that's very entertaining. And you can check out some stuff from Vintage Wrestling Florida. Guy's going to be a stud. If you've never seen him, he's already a stud in Florida. He's already a stud in a lot of these other shows in the Southeast. But he's about to be one of those guys where, if he was on the FIP or the Evolve shows, people would be talking about him constantly. I would say that, pound for pound, he's one of the best in the business. And Jimmy Rave is fantastic.
You have also launched the website, am I correct?
Yes, AtlantaWrestlingEntertainment.com is now live. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It is not 100% full of content yet, but it is live. So you can go and you can look at it. You can see some of the roster page. You can look at some of our events. We are writing some breaking news. And the TV shows that will be put on the Internet are coming. We are in the work of that. And we filmed the last events. And my video team of Taylor Vision Media is putting that together as we speak. And hopefully I'll have a show up in the next few days.
The Twitter account for Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment is
at ATL Wrestling ENT. We are also on Vine. I think it's the same Vine thing. I'm stepping my Vine game up a little bit. I work in social media, so I'm trying to step my game up in other platforms that I'm not used to yet. Don't have a Pinterest page yet for you there, lovely Laura. I know the ladies love the Pinterest. We got the Instagram going. It's the same
Snapchat,
thing. At Atlanta Wrestling ENT. Yeah. Well, I'm a Snapchatter, but that's more of a personal. I love Snapchat more of a personal thing. I'm trying to find a way to make Snapchat work for business. Okay. I'm trying to find a way. That's what I do in marketing. I try to find a way to make you not want to use a platform. Luckily for us, independent wrestling found a way to make us not want to use Facebook. It's not the ALS challenge. It's all these really crappy posts that people do that make no sense, tell no story. That is just, oh, come to my show. Here's my poster. Your poster looks like a 5-year-old just freaking did it on freaking window paint. Or you remember Mario paint? That's what some of these posters look like.
Yep.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, I hear you. Atlanta
and of
Wrestling.
You can always find me.
Yes.
At Josh Von Wheeler on Twitter, Joshua Von Wheeler on everything else.
We'll put all those links up on our website tonight, and give us the date of that event one more time and the location, please, Josh.
September 20th is at the Old Buffington Gym in Canton, Georgia, and I will go ahead and let you know that we have a second match confirmed, and that match will be former NWA World Tag Team Champion Soul Assassin Corey Chavis makes his return to AWE. I keep saying NWA because he's a former NWA tag champion. But anyway, he'll be making his return to the AWE, and he will be facing a young kid out of the WWE 4 training school, D-A-T-L-E-N. This kid is going to be special. I'm just going to let you guys know this right now. I'm very high on the D-A-T-L-E-N, and I got an eye for talent like nobody else in the business. So I can go ahead and tell you right now that I helped scout and find guys like Kyle Matthews. I helped scout and find guys like Caleb Conley, Bobby Moore. You guys have heard the story a million times. So when it comes to talent, I have an eye for it. And of course, you know, my cohorts in crime, Jimmy Raven, Murder One, are two of the greatest wrestling trainers in the business today. So you know, if they come through AWE, they're gonna, you know, they must be good, and they're gonna get a lot better once Jimmy and Murder One get a hold of them.
Josh, I want to thank you for coming on the show and just sitting around and talking a little bit with us.
Yeah, this is weird, man. I'm just used to just coming in, giving you a 7-minute soliloquy, and getting the fuck out. This is kind of interesting. You know, actually being the curtain jerker for the show, and not just the run in before the national anthem.
It wasn't that painful, was it? I mean,
loved it. I mean, you know, I came out here, you know, like, you know, ready to go. I was like, man, I got so many. I'm gonna piss the entire world off tonight. Shit, I didn't get to piss anybody off. You guys didn't let me burn any bridges. You didn't let me shoot anybody. I guess I said a few things that were offensive. Oh, and by the way, Aria Ambrose is back on Facebook. She's now known as Pantera Young, and I just want to say, hey, Aria Ambrose, get the fuck out of the business.
Thank you very much, Josh, for your time tonight.
You're welcome for my time, guys.
All right,
Bump.
Mr. Wheeler. Have a good evening, sir.
Bump.
Thanks.
Bump.
All right.
We need to record a bump.
I can't do that. Yeah, Josh. He's gone. There he goes. Well, you know, Laura, well, we're having a hard time with our audio guy, Jeff, is overwhelmed right now. He's currently in his own studio working on bumps for us. I can't add any more to him right now. So
okay,
I'll try to get Tito. You have to remind me. God, why are you riding my butt tonight?
Somebody's got it.
Oh, Lord.
But before we have Tito on, I would like to tell everybody what I did last night.
Okay.
I went to High Spots and with my good friend Crystal, who is training to be a wrestler, and actually watched George South train people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little surreal for me because this is a man that I grew up watching on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling and on Superstation TBS when it was still the NWA, but the program was called World Championship Wrestling. So I saw George South wrestle Ric Flair. I saw George South wrestle the Rock and Roll Express. So this was a little, like I told George this today on Facebook, a little surreal for me. And he was so patient and, you know, just so, it was just unreal how he was mm-hmm. with all the students and, you know, very, you know, supportive that, you know, he would tell you when you did good, he would tell you when, you know, you did wrong, but not in a mean way or anything. He was just really, he was really good. And
right.
previous guest, Tessa Blanchard, was there. And, you know, I know we've said it before, but, you know, Tessa's going to be a star. There's just no
right.
doubt about it. She's got it. She is a great heel. She came up to me at the PWX show and just, I'd made her a sign, and Tommy had given it to her, and she just, she had me scared, Bob. She really did. She was just like.
She had you scared.
Rah, 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 rah. Yeah, I mean, it was real, because she just came up out of nowhere. She was like, hey, don't you ever, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, I believed it.
Well, you know, we had spoken to her a little bit about his training technique, and she had actually put up a couple of videos and, you know, of him, and very soft-spoken, very to the point about what he wanted to see and what he didn't want to see, but not in a way that was demoralizing or demeaning, you know, always full of praise when, you know, so mm-hmm. I remember asking her about that, you know, about how she adapted to his technique of training. And, you know, it can't be wrong, folks, because if you go back and listen to some of our previous episodes with Tessa and with Cedric and with Caleb and so many others who have had the opportunity and the privilege of going through and working at High Spots, they will be the first to tell you and credit George South with some, you know, with a majority of their success because of the way that he trains people. I mean, you know, that's the whole thing, you know, so.
And I was just, you know, I was, you know, it was a wrestling fan's dream because there I am at High Spots to begin with, and I'm just, like, looking around at all the stuff, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And I'm trying mm-hmm. not to be, like, this fangirl because, you know, there's Caleb standing mm-hmm. there, you know. I'm trying not to, like, wig out or anything, but I got to talk to him for a little bit. Always good to see my BFF. And, you know, just to see what it takes to be a professional wrestler. And I know we've said this before, it's not easy, folks, and it's not. That shit hurts. I mean, and like, you know, Josh was talking about, you know, people think it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You land wrong, you're done.
Did you get in there and bump?
No. I am a fan. First of all, I'm too old. Second of all, I just don't have any interest whatsoever in becoming a professional wrestler. I'm happy being a fan, being a podcaster, you know, tastemaker, you know, whatever you want to call us. I'm just happy doing what I'm doing.
I don't want to hear that. You should have got in there and let Tessa give you a bulldog. At any rate.
Yeah, no.
Folks, we're just waiting on Mr. Escondido to give us a call. Our studio number is 213-816-1605. Why don't you go on and run down the other three events that we have while we wait for Tito to call us?
Yes, and did want to mention, we want to congratulate, Wolfie D on the birth of his child.
Mm-hmm.
Here this
I'll be
past
right
weekend.
Back
sure,
right
and
back.
Would just like to totally cute little girl. Just like to say, you know, congratulations and glad that you're home for that. CZW presents Heat Saturday, August 23rd at 7:30 Bell Time, the Flyers Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. Scheduled to appear, Drew Gulak. Sorry, George calls Gulak. Gulak puts the Gulak on. Drew Gulak. Shane Strickland, Greek God Papadon, which I saw at FanFest on iPay-per-view. Danny Havoc, Biff Music, and more. There's more info at www.czwrestling.com. CWF Mid-Atlantic presents the Weaver Cup Final, Saturday, August 23rd, 7:30 Bell Time at the Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium in Gibsonville, North Carolina. The Final Four battle it out for the Weaver Cup. Eric Royal, Corey Edsel, Marcellus King, just saw him in PWX, took Cedric beating, but, you know, Marcellus was in there, hung tough, gave Cedric all he wanted, and Brad Attitude. All the other stars of CWF Mid-Atlantic will be there as well. You can check them out at CWF247.com. Also,
see,
NWA Bayou.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Go on. NWA Bayou Independent Pro presents Heart of the Champion. Friday, August 22nd, the West Monroe Convention Center. You're going to this, right?
I will be at that event. That is correct.
At West Monroe, in West Monroe, Louisiana, home of our own little Bunkhouse Bob and all the Robertsons from Doug Dynasty.
Doug Dynasty.
7:30 bell time. Scheduled to appear, Andy Dalton, Charlie Haas. That would be good. Steve Anthony, Lance Hoyt, Wardell Walker, and many more. Right there it says, I didn't read ahead, Bunkhouse Bob will be at this event. You can find more on Facebook. You can search NWA Bayou Independent.
Yep, so if folks, if you're in the Mississippi area, Arkansas area, and you're going to come out to NWA on Friday night, I will be there probably in the front row. Knowing my son, we will arrive 2 hours early and stand in line, so like we did the last time. Folks, really great to have on the show. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Star, member of the Vermin, also involved with Santino Brothers Wrestling. It's really cool, and it's a great honor for us to have Tito Escondido on the show. Tito, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, man, no problem. It's always great.
How you doing
to
tonight?
To do these shows. I'm doing great, full of energy.
Good.
Ready to rock and roll this weekend. I got three big shows, so ready to tear it up.
Very cool, very cool. I know that you're a busy guy, and I know there's a time difference. We certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be with us tonight. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem, man. I love doing this stuff.
Cool. On the other end with us is the other co-host, Laura. You want to say hello to Tito, Laura?
Hey, Tito, what's up?
Hey, Laura. You sound sexy, girl. How's it going?
They don't call me lovely for nothing. It's going pretty
good.
Oh,
wow. Well, my day just brightened up a lot.
I hear you.
See,
and
Bob?
I get the co-host with you. I already know all this.
Exactly.
I know all this. You're not telling me nothing I don't know. Tito, tell us what it takes to be a member of the most dominant faction in championship wrestling from Hollywood right now. What does it take to be in Vermin?
Oh, man, it's definitely an attitude. You know, we don't give a shit about the establishment. We don't care about the fans. We don't even care about the boys in the locker room. We're about Vermin first, and we're willing to do what it takes to help out other Vermin members. If that's, you know, maybe doing some dirty tactics. I guess the squares would say cheating, but you don't look at it that way. And just to help each other out, it's always good to have guys like Rockness Monsters and Ryan Taylor have your back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big fans of theirs. We've had Johnny Yuma has been on the show before, and I personally, and I'm a fan of yours, and I'm a fan of Ryan Taylor's. I think Ryan Taylor is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers out there right now. So I'm a Vermin guy. I'm behind you all the way by any means necessary. So whose idea was it for this group formation? Was this something that was presented to you guys, or how did this all come about?
You know, I used to be a tag champ over there at CWF Hollywood, and I lost the belts, and I just disappeared, man. I got tired of being there. I felt unappreciated. And Johnny Yuma came to me, and he said, you know, he felt the same way, and he was looking to get a few guys together so we could almost punish Dave Marquez in the office over there and let them know how we felt and just get a dominant alliance like we have and just go out there and just basically wreck Dave's life.
And you guys
just
have had a pretty
life.
Good track record of doing that right now.
Oh, yeah. Dave hates our guts, man. It's great. I love it. There's nothing more than I love than pissing Dave Marquez off. I hope he's listening right now. Hey, Grandpa Dave over there at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. How you doing? Are we upsetting you? I can't wait to see you Sunday.
Very cool. Very cool. I wanted to talk to you about this because it's been something that's been on my mind. I've been watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood for well over a year now, probably going on 2 years. I get it on MAV TV, on DirecTV where I live at. Comes on at a weird hour, but I DVR it and I watch it and I go back to and we'll talk about this in a little bit too. Percy Pringle and Sean Ricker and so on and so forth. And the recent release of Sean Ricker got people talking about nothing being guaranteed in signing a developmental deal with the WWE. I was just curious, what are your thoughts on their recent signings like of Kevin Steen and their recent releases of guys like Sean Ricker or Chris Hero?
Well, it definitely looks like they're going more towards indie stars right now with all the recent signing, Kevin Steen, a lot of the Dragon's Gate guys, a lot of ROH guys. So I think that's good, especially when you've established yourself and you made a brand for yourself without, you know, any big backing. If you could do that on your own, I think with the WWE backing you, you could definitely be a big star for them. And then
go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then as far as Wicked signing, releasing, that was a big shock to me, man. Dude got what it takes. Dude can wrestle. Dude has a great body. And he's great on the mic. So that's a triple threat right there. And that's basically what I think they're looking for. So I was totally taken back by that.
I was getting ready to say, I know that we had Stu Stone and Allie Parker on a few weeks back. And, you know, that's one of the things that Stu had talked about was that he had spoken to Sean. And Sean felt like everything was going fine and that they were actually talking about moving him up to the main roster and moving forward with a character, with a gimmick, and that he was expecting a push. And then, you know, no pun intended, the rug or the carpet pulled right out from underneath of him. And my whole thought process on it was having watched Sean, not in this year's, but the year previous prior, watching the red carpet rumble, him and Willie Mack, you know, I was surprised.
Yeah, man, I thought he was going to be a main roster guy as soon as possible, just by his promos alone. You could cut a promo, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Don't be surprised if he shows up in Hollywood again, and if he does, he better keep his mouth shut because Berman will have something for him.
That's right. This isn't the Sean Ricker show, folks, just to let you know. We just thought we'd throw that out there. I mean, we are talking with Tito Escondido, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Star. Studio number is 213-816-1605. Laura, I know you had some questions for Tito.
I sure do. I'd like to know, how did you start your wrestling career?
Oh, man, I was about 15 years old, and it was a friend of a friend had mentioned something about him going to train to be a professional wrestler. And me being the nerdy dork that I was at the time, this is before I was a bad dude, I said, hell, man, is it cool if I come along? Is it cool if I tag along? I really want to check this out. And at 15 years old, I got in the ring. I started bumping. I started rolling. And then kind of just started training from there.
Well, who did you train with?
There was a place, it was called the UIWA West Coast Dojo, and it was a guy who ran it named Johnny Hemp, and then our trainers were Johnny Hemp, Cincinnati Red, who worked for the WWE in the 90s, and then Samoa Joe was there too at the time.
Oh, wow. That's pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, I was 15 years old getting beat up by a grown man in Samoa Joe, and I used to come home with my chest just chopped up, just badly beaten and stretched out, and I just kept going back for more.
Yeah, Joe's going to kill you, right?
Yep, and he definitely killed me many times.
Well, you know, and talking about, you know, I guess Samoa Joe was a definitely a, not necessarily an inspiration, but someone that, you know, helped you along the way of your career. You know, we asked Stu Stone and Johnny Huma when they were on, we asked them about Percy Pringle's involvement with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Were you able to spend any time with him? And if you did, what did you learn from him?
No, I didn't really get to spend too much time with him, you know, besides, you know, hey, how's it going? I mean, he was shaking the hands. But I just watching him do his promos were fantastic. If you couldn't learn something from him in his promos, something's wrong with you. You know, I try to take something away from every buddy I meet, whether it's, you know, someone I wrestle or just watching someone in the back with their promos or asking questions. And he was definitely someone I learned promos from just watching him.
Yes, because nobody could cut a promo quite like Percy did even before he was Paul Bearer. He did some great stuff in World Class when he was Rick Rude's manager. So, yeah, totally. Nobody's better on the mic than Percy was.
Oh, yeah. He could work a crowd on the mic for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, especially when he's Paul Bearer with that little shrill voice that just, you know, I was a kid when, you know, that when The Undertaker, I was, you know, not a little kid, but I was a kid, and, you know, you see that come out, and that terrifies you because, you know, kayfabe hadn't been broken yet back then, and there's this guy who looks like death warmed over, literally, and he's got this guy that's with him who actually looks like death. So, yeah, I mean, scary stuff. You know, I'd like to know what your thoughts would be on a match between Los Bandidos and the world's cutest tag team for the PWG tag team titles.
Oh, wow. You know, I've wrestled Joey Ryan a few times, and I was scheduled to wrestle him and again, and he backed out. I could only imagine it was because he was afraid for his life, and he always says he has a movie star good looks, and if he steps into the ring with me again, he's not going to be able to say that because I'm going to smash his face. He's going to walk out of there with swollen eyes and missing some teeth. And if he thinks Candice LeRae is going to back him up with me and Rico, because Rico's a bad dude. He's 240 pounds, and he's pissed off all the time. He wakes up mad. I said, dude, you just woke up, bro. What is there to be mad about? He's just an angry, angry dude. So if they were to get into the ring with us, that would be a bad idea. That'd just be more gold for us to collect.
Well, shoot, yeah. I mean, and, you know, those are pretty prestigious tag titles. I mean, Young Bucks just dropped them. And, you know, that certainly would be a feather in y'all's cap. And speaking of the Young Bucks, what does this upcoming match with them mean for Los Bandidos?
Oh, we just wrestled them 2 weeks ago in Hemet, and we wiped the floors with them, man. We're too big, we're too bad, we're too mean, and they're the best in the world. I'll give them that, but we're the most dominant, meanest, bad dudes they are. And we could take so much punishment and dish it out that people can't hang with us. They can't hang and bang is what it comes down to. We hit too hard and we're too damn mean.
Too hard and too damn mean. I think that should be like y'all's new mantra.
That sounds good to me. Would you
sounds
buy
like
a t-shirt
shirt,
Los Bandidos? Yeah. What do you think?
I'd buy a t-shirt that said that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Heck yeah.
Too hard and too damn mean.
Exactly.
I mean,
I love
they
it.
They don't call us bad dudes for nothing. That's on the shoot right there.
Exactly. Shoot, and I mean, Los Banditos does not mean your friends in Spanish.
No, definitely not. We're bandits. We take what
See?
We want when we want.
Exactly.
No one's safe around us. just keep your head on a swivel because you might just get sucker punched.
Word. Listen to that, Bob. That's the truth right there.
Wait, now you're going to sucker punch me? Come on, Laura. It's all about the violence, Tito. With her, it's all about the violence.
She sounds like she wants us to sucker punch you.
Exactly. There's no finesse involved with her. It's all just violence. If you only knew.
You know, if you only knew, Tito. You know, I always ask this of our West Coast guests. When are we going to see you on the East Coast?
As soon as some promoters fly me out, show me some money, I'll be out there in a heartbeat. It's not up to me. I'm willing to go wherever the money is to whoop some ass. It does not matter to me. I am a prize fighter. Give me a prize to fight for, and I will be there.
Are you listening out there, PWX and Evolve and FIP? Are you listening to this? This man wants to come. You just got to pay him.
I am the baddest dude in professional wrestling, and I'm willing to back that up and go wherever the money is because I fear no man. Men should fear me. Women want to be with me. And the bottom line is I'm not scared of anybody, and I'll show up to your front doorstep and take what I want. If you have a belt, then I'll just take that too.
Well, I like the man that tells it like it is. You can't you can't argue with that. I do want to ask you a question. Your Twitter bio says that you once knocked out Donkey Kong with one single punch. What's the story behind that?
That's actually a true story. I did knock out Donkey Kong with one punch. There's a promotion in Oakland called Hood Slam. They're probably one of my favorite promotions to work for. They draw about 1,000 people a show. And I was in a battle royal that happened to have a few Street Fighters characters, Donkey Kong, Mario, just a plethora of video game characters, and I was there. I saw my chance. I laid hands on Donkey Kong and knocked him out with one punch. It was actually a superstar punch.
Brittany Wonder told us about the Hood Slam shows when we had her on the show a couple weeks ago, and it sounds like a blast to see, and I would really like to make it out there one time to see that, but not, I mean, how many people can say they've knocked Donkey Kong out?
Just one, and he's the baddest dude on the planet, and you're talking to him right now.
Very cool. That's cool. Tito, what is it about Santino Brothers that just makes it look like it's the coolest place in the world to see a match?
Oh, man, maybe like the intimate vibe there. You know, we could only fit like 60 people in the dojo, but those 60 people are in for, you know, the night of their lives, especially if they're wrestling fans. Because we fit 60 people in there doesn't mean we're going to phone anything in. Everyone's there to steal the show and wrestle with their hearts. That's all we do there at Santino's. That's our heart. We go there to train. We go there to wrestle. We go there to improve in this business. And we go there to make a name for ourselves. Santino Brothers is no joke, man. We put out the best talent in Southern California. If you want to become a professional wrestler and you live in Southern California, that's the place to go, no doubt.
That was kind of like this led me right into your next question because I watched some tape on you. And a lot of the tape that I saw was at Santino Brothers, other than what I've watched on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. How long have you been involved with them, and what was your involvement? Do you help train there, or do you just go there to do like what you said to perfect your craft? What's your involvement with them?
Well, I got involved with them about summer of 2010. I had taken a few years off of the business, and I wanted to come back. So I found out about Santino Brothers. I saw who their trainers were, Robbie Phoenix, Chaos, Mongol Santino, and they were offering the best classes, and they were there to challenge you, to make you a better wrestler. So I always want to wrestle the best. I want to train with the best. That's how you get better in this business. That's how you need to pick people's minds, and they have the mind for the business. So, I was training there probably 3 or 4 nights a week. I've cut down on my training now just because I have so many bookings, but I definitely go there. I'll be there Friday night. I'm there every other Friday, and whenever I feel like working on my craft, that's where I go.
Okay. Now,
there are no sissies at Santino Brothers, I'll tell you that. You go there to train, be ready for a fight.
Okay. That's fair enough. I watched tape on you versus Tyler Bateman, Little Cholo, and Pinky. The thing that stands out to me is how well-rounded of a wrestler you are. You can brawl, you can shoot submission, you trade counters like it's nobody's business. How do you feel you match up, or who do you feel that you match up well with that you haven't had an opportunity to wrestle? Who do you have your eye on that you're impressed with, that you'd like to have a go with?
I'm always impressed with the bigger wrestlers that are very athletic and agile. I feel like I'm one of them. I'm 6'1", 235 pounds. I could hit 450 flashes, no-handed hurricane runas. Guys like that, I love to wrestle. Guys like Willie Mack, Uha Nation, even Kevin Steen, some of the Japanese guys are really amazing with how big they are and how agile they are. So I'm willing to go wherever the match takes me, too. If I need to be a high flyer that night, I will. If I have to be technical submission fighter, I will. If you just want to stand and brawl and playing and bang, I do that with the best of them. There's no one that's going to outstrike me. I could take more punishment than probably any man in this business. So if you want to stand and trade punches, then that's going to be a bad night for you.
Every time we get a West Coast wrestler on the show, I feel obligated to ask this because of the different responses that we get. Do you feel West Coast wrestling gets overlooked or doesn't get the respect it deserves?
Oh, definitely, man. There's probably only one fed out here that people on the West Coast watch, and that's probably PWG. And they don't really even use that many SoCal guys anymore. It just gets overlooked, I think, because some of the bigger indie feds are on the East Coast. So, and I think there may even be more hardcore fans on the East Coast. It's hard to fill a house here in SoCal. I don't know why that is. Don't ask me why. But definitely gets overlooked. We have some great talent here in SoCal. A lot of them wrestle for Santino Brothers. I wrestle for Alternative Wrestling Show. They throw out big cards all the time. Those shows are always fantastic. But if the East Coast were to fly out some West Coast guys, some of the top West Coast guys, those people's jaws would be dropped. The fans' jaws would be dropped, that's for sure. Because we're very talented over here on this side.
No, there's no denying that. Like I said, I had started watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and then started following a little bit of PWG. And like you said, their shows have been scaled back a little bit, but the shows that they do are big shows and they bring in names. Just recently gotten turned on to West Coast Wrestling Connection, so I know a little bit about them. Do us a favor, take us through like a typical day, like on a Sunday. You guys go in. How much TV do you tape for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood when you do a Sunday run?
All right, so Sundays typically wake up, breakfast, then I need to be out the door by 11 or 12 because it does take a while. It's pretty far from me. It's about an hour and a half drive. They want us there at 11:30, but if you're a superstar like me, you show up when you want.
I
typically show up around 2 o'clock just because no one's going to tell me not to, No one's going to tell me to be on time if I don't want to be. So I show up typically 2 o'clock, and we do about two TV shows on a Sunday. So shows are roughly about 3 or 4 hours. I find out who I'm wrestling. You know, I put a freaking X through his name because he's not going to have a good night. And go in there, kick some ass. I'm usually home by 9 o'clock, depends.
Okay. Who in championship wrestling has impressed you just by, whether it be by in-ring skill or just sheer determination to step up their game?
Probably Che Cabrera from Revolution. He's my tag partner out in Vegas, and the dude is a beast. 6'1", 245, is a monster. If you look at him, his shoulders are huge. His chest is just a giant barrel of a man. Dude is strong and agile. He's constantly getting better, and he's probably only been in the business for 3 years. And the dude is a stud. I would keep an eye out on him if he's going to do some big things in this business.
What's it like behind the curtain being around Stu Stone?
I like Stu. Stu's freaking hilarious, man. The dude is constantly making me laugh. I work with him a little bit out in Vegas, too, so he's a funny guy. He's always in a good mood. He does a great impersonation of Dave Marquez. Dude's very talented.
His Bill Cosby is spot on.
You should see him running around backstage, man. It's hilarious. I got to tell him to calm down a little bit.
I hear you. I wanted to get your thoughts on one of the stars that's out there that caught my eye for the obvious reason, because of his size, and that's Othello.
True. That's a big boy, man.
You're not kidding.
Dude's 7 foot tall, probably like, I don't know, over 300 pounds of muscle. Dude's a giant. He's probably the one dude I'd go into that ring and be like, damn, maybe I might, you know, take a second thought about having to fight this guy. But then again, I do have Vermin. They do have my back, so I would have some tactics for him, but dude's a monster. I definitely want him on my side if I'm going through a dark alley.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's a beast. Folks, if you don't know some of the names that were thrown out at you, Tito Escondido, Vermin, Stu Stone, Othello, you need to be watching Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on MAV TV. A lot of people feel that Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is starting to garner a following. You've been on TV for a while now. There's some guys out there that are starting to make some buzz, starting to make some noise. What's the general overall feeling of the product that you guys are putting out in the locker room?
You know, I think we're at the verge of doing something special. Everyone out there is busting their ass and doing their best, and I feel like we're right at the cliff, and I'm expecting big things within the next year or two. Even next year, I expect some big things to happen for us. Things are picking up down there. People are starting to notice. We're syndicated all over the U.S. and other countries, so I expect big things, especially 2015.
I know that this sounds like a generic BS question, but you know, I'm going to ask it anyway. What do you want to get out of wrestling, Tito, or what have you gotten out of wrestling? Where do you want to go?
Oh, man. That's the most generic BS question I've ever heard.
I know.
I'm just busting your balls. You know, Matt, this is definitely my passion. I've been wanting to do this since I was a little kid, basically. And what I want to make this my livelihood. I want to make this my full-time job, where all I do is wrestling 24/7. And, you know, I feel like I'm on the brink of making that happen. I'm just going to step my game up even further and try to push, you know, my dreams in life.
Very cool. what events are you going to be coming up at, Tito, so that folks, if they're in the area, can see you, or where are you going to be at?
Let's see. Friday I'm at Santino's. I'll be wrestling Famous B. It was supposed to be for a submissions title, but he lost it like the jobber he is, so I was going to whoop his ass and take that title, but he just lost it. So now I just have to settle for whooping his ass, which is fine with me. That's fine. Saturday I'll be at an alternative wrestling show, AWS, in Southgate, where me and my tag team partner, Rico Dynamite, will defend our AWS tag team titles against the Reno Scum. So fans are in for a treat on that one. Sunday I will be at Championship Wrestling for Hollywood. I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm whooping someone's ass, that's for sure. Whose ass doesn't matter to me. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me, whoever's, unlucky that day. And then the 30th, I'll be in Tijuana, Mexico, with my tag team partner, Rico Dynamite, and we're going for some gold there, too.
Very cool. Now, I know that social media is a big thing right now, and I know that you have a Twitter account because we've been obviously promoting your appearance. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is BDFatTito. Facebook, you can find me, Tito Escondido, very easily. Like my pages, add me as a friend. And also Instagram. I love Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. I need to get my followers up. It's Bad Dude Tito on Instagram.
Bad Dude Tito.
I'll do that right now. I'm getting ready to do that right now.
Oh, you're so sweet. I love that accent of yours.
Thank you.
You sound like one of those Georgia peaches.
That's right. I'm just a little north of Georgia, but hey, I'll take it.
There you go. Last thing we'd ask of you, Tito, if you wouldn't mind, is we'd like for you to record a bump for us, just a little segue. Something like, this is Tito Escondido, and you're listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Show. It'd be great if you can go whenever you want.
All right. It's the T-I-T-O, the baddest dude you know, and you're listening to Live from the Armory.
That works from us. That works.
Awesome.
Tito, thank you very much for being on the show tonight. It was a great pleasure having you on. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man, no problem. Anytime.
All right, boss. You
and
take
you're welcome
care. Have
back
a good night.
Anytime you want to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just let me know.
Okay, well. All right, Tito. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, there goes Tito. What a cool dude.
Very cool, and he thinks I sounded sexy, so he's got extra rounding points in my book.
Oh, brother, I'm not going to hear the end of this one, am I?
No, because he's fine himself.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're not familiar with Tito Escondido's work, and we'll put his links up on our webpage tonight, but if you're not familiar with Tito's work, I highly recommend you check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. It is on MAV TV.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to check your local listings. It airs different times throughout the country, but there's some great work going on out there. I can't stress enough, with Matt Stryker being there and a few others and some things that they've got into place, and in Tito's own words, I've been singing their praises for almost a year now, and I'm telling you, there are some guys out there that are just absolutely fabulous to watch wrestle. So if you get the opportunity, please check out Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and check out Tito Escondido and the members of Vermin. One of the guys, as a matter of fact, I've got one that's DVR'd now, and I just got done watching one a couple of days ago. There's a guy out there, Ryan Taylor, who I'm really big on now. So he's I'm telling you, keep an eye on Ryan Taylor. Keep an eye on Tito, too. So very cool to have him on. Certainly appreciate his time.
We just have a lot of great people, I think, on, and I think it's so funny that we don't know a lot of times what's going to, you know, what, well, I don't guess we know any time when we get people on, you know, exactly what's going to transpire, but it always seems like magic is made every time we have guests on, don't you think?
Absolutely, you know, and we've had some fans that have asked us, you know, what's the criteria for somebody to be on the show? And it's like, I don't know. I didn't know that this was a college course. I didn't know that we had a criteria. You know, the thing about what Laura and I discuss when we bring guests on, and folks, you can always tweet us or you can put on our Facebook page suggestions for people that we would, you know, that you would like to hear on the show. A lot of times, you know, and we'll always get this, and I'll explain it to you in simple terms so that you understand. You know, they say, why don't you get John Cena on the show? You know, folks,
well,
we're not ever going to get John Cena on the show. Because, first of all, that's not the type of program we run. Second of all, in order to get certain stars on, we would have to go through media relations. We have to fill out a form. We have to submit all the questions in writing in triplicate, you know, and then most of the time they will only do interviews if they're in the particular area that it's going to be broadcast in. And guess what, folks? We don't just broadcast in the United States. We broadcast in Canada. We broadcast in Mexico. We broadcast in Europe. We broadcast in the UK. We broadcast in Australia, which reminds me that I need to tell you, for our Australian listeners, for our UK listeners, and for our EU listeners, you can go to www.fnxnetwork, that's fnxnetwork.com, and you can see our link for the show there, and you can hear our episodes there now. So we are global, and we'd like to thank FNX Network for their partnership. So that's getting back to
guys.
Absolutely. But getting back to the criteria, a lot of times it's just folks that we watch, folks that we know, folks that we've met at shows, that we paid money to see. We would pay money to see.
Right.
And, you know, we send out a message, and, you know, that's usually how it goes. You know, a lot of the people that we speak with are very approachable. So, you know, if you're respectful,
yes,
9 times out of 10, folks are approachable. So if you want to know what the criteria is, that's the criteria, I guess.
Yeah, I had someone come up to me at PWX and want to be – I had two people to come up to me and want to be on the show. And I don't wear anything that says live from the Armory. I don't wear that. Of course, you know our T-shirt plate, y'all. I don't have a T-shirt that says live from the Armory. They just know that's, you know, who I am. And you know, I'll talk to anybody. If you come up to me at a show and want to be on the show, or if you want to send me a Facebook message or you want to tweet me, you know, I'll put you on the show. If you're involved in independent wrestling, we've had photographers, referees, promoters. We're getting ready to have someone from High Spots on. If you're just involved in the world of independent wrestling, give us a holler. We'll have you on. You know, you listen to the show. You know that we don't, you know, create controversy. We don't ask controversial things. We just want to get to know you, just like all our listeners want to, because that's our job, is to put people over. And speaking of putting people over, Bob, we need to help put two people over.
We need to help put two people over in a
in their movie.
In a movie.
If you got
wait a second, is this the lead in to the Kickstarter for the Flight of the Monarch Butterfly that you want to contribute to?
Can you see Zane Riley in a Monarch Butterfly costume?
No, but that would be an awful good gimmick for a Hood Slam show.
Yes, that would. Zane, if you're listening,
Hood Slam's calling. They need you to be like a monarch butterfly. I know you can pull it off, brother.
Or a bumblebee, one of the two.
Or a bumblebee. You know, I think Caleb would make a good – actually, Zane would be a good bumblebee and Caleb would be a good monarch butterfly, don't you think?
Please do not give those two any more ideas that they can make money off of from us.
Anyway, if you guys are fans of Zane and Caleb Put Over the World, they're trying to make a movie. They've raised, I believe, 800 and some odd dollars. Their goal was 500. They're trying to get to 1,000 so that you can have a little like a little chase scene. You can go to Kickstarter.com and find out. Once they hit a certain goal, they'll add these scenes to the movie. One is a musical, and I'm hoping that they get up to that because I would love to see those two doing something like, you know, Sound of Music or maybe a number from Grease. I think that would be absolutely wonderful. Just saying. But, you know, give them a helping hand. You can go to Kickstarter.com and search for Zane and Caleb Put Over the Movie and give them a helping hand.
A helping hand of Hamburger Helper or something. We better damn well get some kind of credit for this.
I'll talk to their people. And see what I can do.
Yeah, have our people talk to their people. And speaking of people, have you seen some of the pictures of wrestlers wearing the Strong Style Life T-shirts?
I even can do you one better. I've actually seen wrestlers in real life and in color at wrestling shows wearing them.
Those are some cool-looking shirts.
They are cool-looking shirts. Cedric's got a really nice one. Caleb's got a great one. John Schuyler just, I think, got one, too. So, and there's also the great one that says, Leave It All in the Ring. I mean, that's a good little shirt right there. I saw a couple people at PWX wearing them. Tessa Blanchard owns one.
Hmm. I have to look into that. Strong Style Life Clothing.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, it's, you know, it's an attitude. It's a lifestyle, even, if you will.
That is true. That is true. I did see that the, I wanted to go back, folks know that I've been there. There's always some kind of purpose or intent behind of my little things that I drop and leave along the way for you. The $9.99 everybody knows is tagged to the WWE Network. And I did see where the WWE Network launched this past week into some more countries overseas, but yet they haven't quite made it into where they feel they're going to gain their most shares at in the UK, Ireland, and some other countries. But I think what has happened is that this whole $9.99 gimmick that everybody's getting tired of, it seems that WWE social media staff have kind of become savvy to the point where people make fun of, you know, where they're making fun of things, and they're picking up on that and turning around and using it as a punchline now. You know, Stephanie McMahon was doing it this past week on Raw, and yes, I did watch Raw. It's the first Raw that I've watched pretty much in its entirety, because I got a message from a friend, a former guest of the show, and I don't want to give a whole lot away, because from what I've been told, I believe it will air on SmackDown, but you need to pay attention to the Adam Rose segment, and that's all that I will say. Pay attention to the Adam Rose segment. And after it airs next week, we'll have a little something on that. So I don't want to give it away because it's too exciting for this person. It's pretty cool. It's been exciting for everybody that has been on the show, whether it's been Mary Elizabeth Monroe or Caleb Conley or whomever it's been that's been able to go behind the scenes and just be involved with that. And they said it's been a great experience, so I don't want to ruin anything for anybody. So we'll talk about that next week.
Right. Yeah, we sure will, because we, you know, we're all about, you know, I really think you and I need to, I know the put over the world thing has already been taken, but I think you and I need some kind of moniker like that, because, damn it, do we not put a lot of people over?
Yeah, I think we're probably going to, maybe that's something to send out on social media tonight, you know, because.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
that's a good idea, because.
We've had a lot of questions. We've had a lot of people ask us about, you know, the pool from which guests are selected from. Why is it that we don't have any altercations? I had some guy that messaged me and said, you know, why aren't you argumentative with somebody? I don't really see the point to be argumentative with anybody. I think I've been argumentative with one person, and those points were valid and have been proved over and over. But all that being said, that there's no reason for us to be argumentative with anybody, because the people that we have on the show, we like. So why am I going to argue with somebody that I like?
And why would I have somebody on the show to argue with them to begin with? I can argue with people in my own spare time.
Exactly. You can argue with me, which
and
you
do
on a frequent basis. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense. So we could put that out on social media. We could ask folks, because we put over so much talent on this show, is there a new moniker that we should give ourselves? Maybe that's something somebody can come up with. Somebody can give us an answer on that. I don't know.
Yeah. The putter overs of the world. That doesn't sound good, does it?
crap, Laura. Crap.
And speaking of putting people over, I have to put my good friend Cameron Cade over, because he's got two big shows coming up this weekend, and he sent me a message asking me what I tell people about them. And see, if you send me messages and ask me to talk about your shows, I will too. He's got one, Over the Top. This is going to be a four-way. It's going to be him, Josh West, Blaine Rage, and Jason Falcon. And because these things are so little, you tell where they're going to be. It's going to be at the Camden County Rec Center in Kingsland, Georgia. Doors open at 7, tickets are $10, under 12, $5. He'll be in Saturday at, these things don't come up like they should, August 23rd, 7:30 bell time, NWA Atlanta at Locust Grove, Georgia. It's going to be at the Metro Auction Center. He is going to be in the round 2 of the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship Tournament. Cody Hall is going to make an appearance there. Fry Daddy is going to be there. Bill the Butcher. Pain looks like he could give you some pain. Logan Creed, Tradition. You know, it's going to be a good show. It's always a good show when Cameron's on there. And I have some news about this Put Over the World thing. Hold on just a second. I tweeted out, perhaps Zane could be a bumblebee and Caleb could be a monarch butterfly. And that Zane Riley tweeted me back and said, he's not against it. If they hit $900, we got it. So, yeah, people, we need to get them the $900, because I would absolutely love to see Zane Riley in a bumblebee outfit and Caleb Conley as a monarch butterfly. Let's get this done.
Maybe while those two boobs are dressed up like that, they can do a musical and sing songs from Phantom of the Opera. We can kill two birds with one stone.
Or maybe, like, do the background music from, like, Fantasia.
Oh, God. No more. Don't give out any more ideas. Hell, we've already wrote the script for the movie. Now we need to get a writing credit as well as a producing credit. I'm telling you, if I don't see my name up there in lights with them, I'm going to be pissed. Joke. Joke. Did you see, folks, if you haven't caught on by now, Laura and I are just BSing. This is what we do. This is part of the fun of podcasting, because this is
exactly the
kind of show that we do. We're just having a general conversation about stuff that's on our minds. I wanted to give a shout out. I don't know if folks saw this or not. Joshua Cutshaw and the Tracer X match. Did you see
the
video
on
that?
I have not seen it yet. Mm-mm. Is it good?
let's put it this way. I told folks in a post that I put out after the show last week that the guys that are soft-spoken that we've had on, you know, and I said it, I think, after the show, the guys that are soft-spoken are the ones that you need to watch out for. I don't want to give too much away. You really need to take a look, and it's on YouTube. If you put in SWA and you put in Josh Cutshaw and Tracer X, I know that the video's up, or you can go to Joshua's page, you know, which I believe is, what, Joshua Real Cutshaw, and the video link is up there. At the end of the match, Joshua takes a spill outside, and Tracer X proceeds to do a diving flip through the ropes. Okay, folks, so he backs up, gets a head of steam, goes off the ropes, does a diving flip through the ropes. Joshua catches him and power bombs him on the concrete floor. To which Tracer X needed medical attention. I do not have a medical update on him, but from everything that I saw and everything that I was told off air, it looked as if he had several staples that were needed in the back of his head, and it looked like he was suffering concussion symptoms. So I don't think that you're going to see Tracer X for a little while, and I also believe that Joshua put up a post after that about the whole incident, and I highly suggest that you go listen to it, because me repeating it verbatim does it no justice. And that's all that I'll leave that as.
Wow. Those SWA boys, they don't play around.
No, they don't play around. They don't play around. We've got some time left. I did want to, before I forget about it, because I've been forgetful this evening, which Laura's reminded me of, I do want to announce next week's guest. Next week, we will have Joey Image on the show. Laura, you've got some background on Joey Image?
I do. Joey, I first interacted with Joey on Twitter. And he was a professional wrestler up in the New Jersey area. He has suffered a neck injury that has unfortunately prematurely ended his career. So we want to talk to him about his experiences in the business. He knows tons of people in the business, and just, you know, how he's seeing things now that, you know, he's not able to wrestle any longer.
One of the things that we try to do is we try to provide different perspectives and different angles, and one of the things have arranged this with Joey is that we want to talk about life after wrestling. You know, a lot of people know that due to advances in surgery, so on and so forth, people have been able to come from serious neck injuries, whether it be Stone Cold Steve Austin, Daniel Bryan, you know, through surgery, and have been able to continue their career. But what happens when you get that news that, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to? You know, we wanted to get that angle for you, so we're going to talk with Joey Image about that next week. The other guest that we have on is a wrestler that I started hearing about, I don't know, probably about 5 or 6 months ago. Put out something out on Twitter and said, you know, can anybody tell me about any wrestlers in the South that we should be paying attention to, or, you know, who we might want to keep our eye on. And this name kept coming up over and over and over again, was Pandora out of the Georgia area.
Right.
And so I've done a little work and looked at some tape, and, you know, we're pretty happy to say that we're going to have Pandora on next week as well. So really looking forward to having her on too.
I think she is Sleaze's manager when he wrestles in AWE.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. You're right.
So, yeah, very interesting type character. Can't wait to talk to her. It's always, I think, refreshing when we have a woman on, because it is obviously a much different ballgame when you're a woman wrestler than it is when you're a man.
And it's always good to get that perspective, that female perspective, that you don't get. And we've found out by talking to women, you know, and we've had some great women guests on our show. It's always good to hear what they go through and, you know, how important it is to, you know, to be seen in a certain light when you're in wrestling. So totally, totally looking forward to that.
Right. And what, and I did see her actually wrestle one of the matches that I saw, and I'm not going to give away too much information, is that I saw her wrestle Mickey Knuckles in a cage match. So the other thing that tying into this also is that she is also involved with mixed tag team wrestling, which seems to be catching on. You know, we've been talking about this now for several weeks. She is involved with a mixed tag team called the Dream Team in Georgia. So we will talk to her about the Dream Team and, you know, just talk about wrestling in general when we get her on next week. So I did want to mention, because I ran through it kind of quick, I wanted to thank Michael Rose again for the new audio at the beginning of the show. Please visit Michael's website. The website is www.hook, that's H-O-O-K, 74.com. If you're not familiar with Michael Rose and who Michael Rose is, you need to check him out, because if I tell you the story, you're going to say it's bullshit. But if you go to the website and actually see it for yourself, then you'll know that what I've said since day one is the hand of God truth. You need to go to Michael Rose's website and check out this musician. And I want you to actually tweet either myself or Laura, or leave us something on our Facebook, or leave us on something on our Facebook pages, letting us know that you saw it and tell me what you saw. That way I know that you actually went to the site and you're not just pulling my leg. Go to www.hook74.com and check out Michael Rose. And while you're there, you might want to pick up his album as well. It's also available on iTunes. I believe the name of the album is called Souls in the Headlights. But you need to take a look at his website and then let us know that you were there. I think you'll be very, very surprised at what you see. So
Michael's phenomenal.
Michael is phenomenal. Also want to thank Jeff for the hard audio work that he's been doing, because, folks, you know, we do a lot of different things, and we can't do it all on our own. We do have people that help us out. Jeff, I know that you're listening, and I know I'm a pain in your ass, and I know I send you too many emails. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Also want to say thanks to Kane at fnxnetwork.com. Thank you very much for putting up with my endless stream of emails, because folks, if you haven't figured this out by now, I can be a little OCD at times. Doesn't sound like it all the time, but when I get locked in on something, it happens that way.
Look out.
Look out. Folks, we want to thank you very much for tuning in tonight, wherever you may be listening to us from. We're here every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are also on iTunes. You can go to iTunes and download the iTunes podcast app, or you can simply go to iTunes, type Armory in the search bar, wait for that to pop up, and then go down to the podcast link, click it, and bang, we're right there. You can listen to all of our episodes 100% for free. Not $9.99, but for free. So check that out. Download the episodes. We look forward to hearing your feedback. You can email us. You can text us, you can tweet us, you can Facebook us, you can Snapchat and Instagram, Laura, because I don't do any of that.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. Folks, thank you very much for listening tonight. Remember, there is never a bad seat here at the Armory. We'll see you next week.
have been listening to Live from the Armory Wrestling Radio Show. Listen to us on blogtalkradio.com every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at From the Armory. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/live.armory.9. If you like what you hear, please take a few moments to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Thank you for listening. See you next week.